They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's a bad day at the oil rig for Russia's energy producers. Good morning, I'm Leanna Byrne, bringing you the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. In December, the European Union and G7 nations banned seaborne imports of Russian oil. And for those countries still keen to buy, they imposed a price cap. The idea was to hit Russian revenues while keeping global oil supplies flowing. And that seemed to be happening. Volumes are unchanged. India and China are replacing Europe as buyers, and less cash is reaching the Russian state. Today, the Financial Times reports the Kremlin is now raising taxes on the Russian oil sector. Here's Victor Katona, lead crude analyst at Kepler in Vienna, to explain how the price cap has affected the flow of oil money.
It's not starving the oil companies of the free cash flow or of the revenues for that matter, but it's starving the government because the government relies on taxation whilst the companies rely on revenue as such. There has been a multi-pronged strategy from the Russian oil companies as to how to, I won't say circumvent the oil sanctions, but to find new creative solutions around them. And one of these new creative solutions was to effectively build up their own shipping and insurance industry, which they did. But most of the shipping and insurance industry is placed abroad, not in the Russian jurisdiction, but let's say in India, in the United Arab Emirates, or in China. And effectively, the overall revenue of the company doesn't change because it's still getting that money, but it's getting some bits and pieces of that money into its Indian accounts or into its Emirati accounts, into its Chinese accounts. And the Russian government never actually sees these revenues, never actually sees this income.
And what price is Russian crude going for at the moment? Is it still quite low? Is it still quite discounted?
I would say that minus 10 to Brent is the current price. And this price reflects the fact that shipping is already part of the transaction. Russians do the shipping as opposed to, you know, previously relying on a massive amount of European shipping companies, overwhelmingly Greek in origin.
So if Europe isn't getting Russian oil, where is Europe getting its oil from?
I would say that there are three main thrusts of new sources of European imports. Latin America meets the quality specifications that Russian oil had. West Africa is also on the increase. And third, but not the least, the US is also still very much a growing market. So ultimately, if I'm to pick one region which is ideally suited to replace Russian crude in the long term in Europe, it would be Latin America, because quality-wise, they're very, very much the same.
Victor Katona, lead crude analyst at Kepler in Vienna, thank you so much for joining us on Marketplace.
Thank you for having me.
Now let's do the numbers. UK markets are closed in honour of King Charles III. The Stocks Europe 600 index is up 0.2%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng also up by just over 1.5%. But Japan's Nikkei index is down by 0.7%. Now let's get the latest on Sudan. Two sides of the conflict are meeting in Saudi Arabia to try to bring an end to the fighting. People are still fleeing and thousands of people are heading to neighbouring South Sudan. The BBC's Catherine Bayarahanga is there in the town of Renk, which is a border town, and it's feeling the impact.
South Sudan is a vast country. Transportation links aren't great. Resources within South Sudan are limited. So people here tend to import all their goods from neighbouring Sudan. So we're talking about things like bottled water. We're talking about the electricity even that supplied to this town comes from neighbouring Sudan. And what has happened because of the conflict is that supplies have been cut off. Prices here have also shot up. So for example, the price for a bottled water has gone up 3 times. Petrol prices have more than tripled just in the last few weeks. So people here are not only dealing with the influx of those coming in, they're just also running out of supplies and prices are going up for them as well.
The BBC's Catherine Bayarahanga reporting. Now, workers in the UK have been given another public holiday today to mark King Charles III's coronation. That makes a total of 3 public holidays this month. The BBC's Elizabeth Hodson has been looking at which businesses will be making money from it and which ones will be losing out.
UK workers get 8 public holidays, or bank holidays as they're called here, every year. That compares to 6 in the US and an average of 12 in the European Union. This year, they'll get an extra one for King Charles's big day, which the government estimates will cost the British economy almost $1.7 billion. But more tourists than usual are also expected. Andrew Jackson is in charge of the Tower of London.
If I looked at the Platinum Jubilee holiday last year, that was the first time since the pandemic that we'd hit 10,000 visitors again. And we can expect a bounce of, say, 25% on some bank holidays.
He says that visitors want to watch the changing of the guard and...
the crown jewels. It's what most people come to see. Now, unfortunately, during the coronation, they won't be here because they're used for the coronation.
And after a disastrous few years during the pandemic, hospitality businesses are also keen to make the most of bank holidays. Simon Champion is CEO of the Box Park chain of entertainment venues.
Every bank holiday Sunday is effectively like another Saturday night. In hospitality, people want to come and party.
Simon's banking on customers like charity worker Stefan Begg to splash the cash.
On bank holidays, we get a day off. Just a bonus day, it doesn't count against annual leave, anything.
But Stefan's friend, hospitality worker Connor Boyle, isn't so fortunate.
I'm the floor manager at Swingers City Crazy Golf Club.
What's a bank holiday weekend like for you? Are you working?
Yeah, typically for a bank holiday weekend, I'm going to be working. Very busy.
For some industries, bank holidays disrupt schedules and cause major headaches. John Bruce owns PRM Model Agency.
I always see bank holiday months as our slowest months. With May, we've got 3 long weekends. A lot of our clients do base holidays around this period.
John says that means he has to try to squeeze in everything in the remaining months, on top of the challenges the industry is facing.
In our fashion field, we're already struggling because of bad weather, inflation. So people are already scared at buying new clothing. So I think this just puts an extra dent on things.
So while the bank holidays this year will be a welcome boost for bars and tourist attractions, spare a thought for businesses and employees who just want to get back to a normal working week. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Well, you could spare a thought for me as well. I didn't get a bank holiday. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Olivia Michelli on the tech. Joe Critcher is our editor. I'm Leanna Byrne. And as always, thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.